So important that we see these last words of Paul, because he's recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ, which, as I look out, I'm believing probably most of you here today, and maybe most of you tuning in, have already made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And you know that he hooks you up to the Father. But the part I believe that really needs to become real in your life is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when he shares this, and I very much believe the right tone, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Communion isn't just a word. When you look up the word communion in the Greek, the actual rendering of it, it's interesting how it's laid out. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about how before God poured out and added to the church daily, they were in communion, breaking bread. They were in this close oneness. And because it pleased the Lord, he began to add to the church daily. Paul, at this stage of the game, was realizing he has a messed up church of believers, and they don't realize the power they have available within them. And so he says the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what Strong says. Strong says communion reference here, it literally is from a partnership. It's literally a participation in partnership. But even more challenging to it, it says socially, it's an intercourse that we have, that the two become one.
Right.
There is no closer relationship that the Lord wants us to have than to have a oneness with the Holy Spirit.
Good.
And when we look at our journeys, many times people say, I didn't even know much about a Holy Spirit. Or when pastor teaches on the Holy Spirit, you think we're only talking about tongues or the gifts. We're talking about a communion. We're talking about a relationship that we recognize and acknowledge the one that's with us all the time.
Right.
If I can get anything across to this body and to those that are listening, it's twofold. Number one, that we realize who lives in us when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. And secondly, just as important, is that we begin to have a dialogue and we begin to commune with this God that lives with us wherever we go. And that's where it gets a little scary to people because, oh, I can't see the Holy Ghost. You can't see Jesus. I can't see the Holy Ghost. You can't see Father God. But we can see through others, but we can learn to hear and to see in the unseen, unheard realm and become one with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to just lay this foundation this morning. Go to John chapter 14, Jesus speaking. And I want you to see how significant he prepares as he's transitioning us from the old covenant to the new covenant, which hasn't been released yet because the Holy Ghost had not been released. And he says this in verse 12, Jesus, most assuredly, I'm saying to you who believes in me, the works I do, you will also do, and greater works than these you will do because I'm going to be with my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I am going to pray the Father, and he is going to give you another helper. Yours may say comforter, but it's in the capital. Another, when you look at it in the Greek, one just like me, that he will abide with you forever. The Spirit, sometimes people have a hard time. They say, well, it's only talking about the Spirit here, capital S. Doesn't say Holy Spirit, doesn't say Holy Ghost. You need to realize, in every version, it doesn't say Christ Jesus. Christ is not his last name. Christ, the anointed Jesus, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Holy just references he's holy. And guess what? He lives in us. It's an acknowledgement. So when we don't see it, it's still there. Amen. When we see the capital S, we're talking about the Spirit that lives in us, and he's holy. And when I refer to him as a ghost, it's not, ooh, Casper the friendly ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the unseen, but he's with me and he's in me. Amen. And I've learned how to make him a part of my day-to-day and my questions and my answers. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, he dwells with you, and he will be in you. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, he makes his home in us. That's why we touch not one another, believers, because they've got the Holy Ghost in them. Doesn't matter if they go to Shield of Faith. Doesn't matter what church they go to. It doesn't even matter if they don't go to church. If they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're our brothers and they're our sisters, and touch not God's anointed, because the anointing our believing brothers and sisters have is the Holy Ghost that lives in their spirit, that became brand new when they made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and they became these new creatures in Christ Jesus. But what we find in the body of Christ, a lot of defeat, a lot of sad faces, looking at what's happening out there, we can get so caught up. And as Pastor Mike taught us last week, and we lose our freedom because we start to base our freedom on who's in office, who's not in office, what laws are passed or whatever. No, when the Son sets us free and that freedom comes with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost is alive and well, which he is in our lives, and we recognize him, he begins to flow out and we stay in freedom. And we cannot be brought down. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Verse 26 says, but this helper, this Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, he's going to teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said. Look at me, church. If the Holy Spirit has a function to communicate with us, and we never recognize and communicate with him, how are we going to be put into remembrance to what Jesus said? Right. Well, you can say, well, I can get in the Word. I know you can get in the Word, and the Word is a great thing to look and to read and to study. But I'm going to tell you that the Holy Ghost will confirm what's in the Word, and if the Word is off in some way, the Holy Ghost is going to bring the conviction because he is God himself. And so, why do we pump up men and women? Normally, it's because they have learned how to communicate with the Holy Spirit, and he has become alive. You've heard me share a book I read in 1991. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I loved the Holy Ghost, but I didn't understand how to make him personal in my life. And I read this book by Benny Hinn about Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I always date when I read a book. I put what date. I put 1991. I forget what month. And what that book did, it did not elevate Benny Hinn. It elevated the reason why we have to make the Holy Spirit real in a believer's life. And he began to wake up, and he began to talk to the Holy Spirit, and he began to ask for help. You know why I believe a lot of the miracles and so forth that we see in activities like that is because when we get sensitized to the things of God, we rely on the Holy Ghost, things happen. Because he stands over his word ready to perform it. Amen. But why we don't see as much happening? Because we are trying, we think, we acknowledge the Holy Ghost, but we don't recognize him. We don't talk to him. We have no communion with him. Look with me, if you would, to chapter 16 of John, beginning at verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking again, I'm telling you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, you're not going to get the Holy Ghost, the helper, the comforter. I mean, most people, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? He's at the right hand of the Father. He gave you the comforter, the helper, the all-powerful one, the kingdom of heaven. It's within us. We are not lacking. We're fully armed and equipped. And the more we recognize that, the more of the arsenal we begin to release. Because out of our belly should flow rivers. people, river is Holy Ghost. When you got out of your belly flowing rivers, it's flowing Holy Ghost. It's flowing in the things of God. And so, and when he comes, this Holy Ghost that comes inside us, he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Stay with me. The role of the Holy Ghost inside us has three functions. Primarily, two functions should affect us. The first one, and we'll see, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Everybody look at me. The sin that the Holy Ghost comes to convict the world of is not all the sins that the body of Christ tries to lay on people. If you clean up 654 of these things, you'll be clean enough for the Lord. No, the only sin you're accountable for that you gotta activate, you gotta believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again. It's the sin of unbelief. And then it says, of righteousness, stay with me, that affects us. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Everybody look at me. The second part of the Holy Ghost inside us is to remind us that we're righteous. You're the righteousness of Christ. You're not a slime ball. You're not a barely making it. You're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. His whole role as a believer is to remind you how blessed you are. How beautiful, how handsome you are, how all-powerful you are. That's the role of the Holy Ghost. That's why we got to talk to him. And that is the freeing element to people. And the last one is affecting the world if they don't believe him. There's judgment coming. We don't have to worry about those. We do the best we can to introduce people to the Lord. But I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost hasn't drawn them, you can't talk them to death. You can't convince them to death. Our role is to live excited and happy, and they're going to want who we got. We'll introduce them to Jesus, and then they'll stop being in unbelief. Go with me and look at the last couple verses there. He is going to glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he's going to declare it to you. He's talking to believers. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and he will give it to you. Everything that Jesus has, he's giving it to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. If we don't recognize the Holy Ghost, how can we get what's already ours? Go with me to 1 John. We'll leave Jesus' teachings and let's see John the Beloved. 1 John chapter 2. Beginning at verse 18. And the scripture says, not in 1 Corinthians, 1 John. First John chapter 2, verse 18 says, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. And the last hour began on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Peter says, this was spoken, that in the last days he'd pour out the Spirit. It's poured out, we're living in the last days. Well, when it ends, who knows? But we do know this, we're in the last days and we got the power of God inside us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. What makes somebody of us? They have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that he died for their sin, and they become a new creation. I don't care what people tell you out there, yeah, I've got faith, whatever. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you believe he died for your sins and he rose again? If they say yes, he knows that because the Spirit bears witness. But you have, this is to the believers, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, hold it a second. We know all things. Now, you might say, gosh, we're the smartest people in the world. You have the availability to know all things because you're connected to the one that does know all things and the two of you have become one in communion. In communing with the Holy Ghost. You have access to everything. So if you have access to everything, even if you don't use everything, you have access to know everything because he does not hide anything and say, well, I like Lisa, but I'm not going to let Randy see some of this stuff. He wants us to have this relationship with him that we become so close to him that we literally become one. Koinonia, fellowship, communion. So, he goes on, verse 27. This anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And who are we to abide in? The Holy Ghost. We're abiding in Jesus because you can't separate him. So I know that's the comp. Say, Jesus at the right hand ever interceding. But he gave us the comforter, the helper, the all-powerful one, the anointed one. His name is the Holy Ghost, the ghost, the river. And he never leaves me. Whether I'm out in the Springer area, whether I'm in my vehicle, I'm with him. And so are you. And the reason why people have more fruit than others, they've learned that, and they begin to call on him more, and they begin to refer to him, and they become friends. I'm trying to come up with, he's more than just my God inside me. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He's the one that knows everything I need for that moment. So whether I have lip cancer or COVID or whatever I'm going through, he's still there. And same with you. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this of 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now look at me, church. We got so many Christians getting discouraged with Christians that have prophesied things that we didn't see come to be. They are not false prophets. They are natural people that miss it, just like you don't always hit right on, because this is the qualifier. By this you know the Spirit, Holy Ghost of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Whether we like what they said or we don't like what they said, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, we got to give them space to miss it. And most of the time when they miss it, and the ones I'm listening to missed it, I still was encouraged till I got to the next place. Now I'm saying, Holy Ghost, now what? I've not lost anything. I'm just waiting for the next encouragement because he comes to comfort, encourage, and help us. So if we only get part, just another part's coming until we got all the parts. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. You want to know a spirit of the Antichrist? They don't believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And then he died for our sins. That's the only qualifier. You are of God, little children. You've overcome them, the forces of darkness. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Gosh. Phase one, remember, I got to get you to believe you've got God in you. And he is the greatest gift that we can ever get. Because Paul says to commune means you become one with him. Let me ask you something. Some of you that have husbands and wives. When you consummate a marriage, you've already gone through the whatever. You come together, you become one. Right? If you never communicate with your spouse, you never recognize your spouse, you never talk to your spouse, you never ask them for help or ask them for wisdom, let me ask you, how tight you think a relationship you're going to have? Carnal man and woman get prideful, huh? And we're just going to hold something against them. We're not going to work this out until they ask for forgiveness or whatever. Do you know that when we go to Ephesians 5, it talks about the closest relationship that Jesus wants us to realize that he has with the church is a husband and wife? Why do you think, and we use those scriptures through a wedding, you know, Wives, submit to your husband, da-da-da-da-da. Man, love your wife as Christ loved the church. All of that is to try to get us to the place where we communicate and we have a relationship.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if all day I'm not with PK and I come home and she's talking to me and I'm ignoring her, you got a Holy Ghost trying to talk to you, but you're ignoring him. You're not having any dialogue with him. Let me tell you what would happen in my household. My wife would be in my face. We are helpmeets. We are comforters. We are encouragers. I always find it interesting. A lot of times husbands and wives get into issues and all of a sudden the wives decide, well, you're not getting anything from me. Where all the scripture says, don't forsake coming together unless it be for prayer and fasting, which most of the time it's not for prayer and fasting. It's for punishment. That's the most beautiful, healthy thing that God has given to man, husband and wife, and yet we use it as a tool to control. Holy Ghost isn't going to be controlled that way. He wants us to have this dialogue, and he wants us to communicate. Let him know how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, and begin to ask him for help. When we say we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit does, we're talking about the Holy Spirit does. Oh, yeah, we pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in tongues, and yes, I don't know what I'm praying, but I do know that it's benefiting. But that's not the main thing with my Holy Ghost is the relationship that I establish with him to make him be a part of my total life, in my decision-making process, in my choices. And that's why you see in a relationship when we challenge our kids, don't settle for someone that says they're a Christian, but make sure they're living the life. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't have a relationship where Jesus Christ is Lord, where you have that communication ongoing, it's going to be lacking. You can be infatuated at the start. We're infatuated. We get saved. We get the Holy Ghost. Yay, yay, yay. And we never communicate with the Holy Ghost. We go through life. We may talk to Jesus. Jesus, why is this happening? Jesus, why is this happening? Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you another one like me, and he'll never leave you. Why are you looking to me when he has what you need? And people don't realize that. So they never have this dialogue with God in the form of the Holy Ghost that's with you. I don't believe John the Beloved is saying you need not any man teach you. It doesn't mean that you can't be stirred by pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles. What he's saying is the real teacher, though, even in what they share, is the Holy Ghost that's inside you. See, we don't put individuals on a pedestal if we realize who the teacher is. The teacher is not man or woman, even though they're used as a vessel for encouragement. It's when we have ears to hear and eyes to see, wow, that's good. I watch my wife. I make her trails all through the woods. She walks our dogs a couple times. She's there many times. See her, she's holding her hand out because she's walking with the Holy Ghost. And she's talking to him, thinking, oh, thank you for the beautiful trees, and thank you for my path. Thank you for my dogs. Thank you. And has this dialogue. And then she'll stop and look at some of God's creation. And I'm thinking, gosh, that's all he's wanting is to be one with us and to be recognized. I'm going to tell you, a marriage would be, and that's why you see a lot of marriages don't make it. The good thing is God can restore marriages just like he can restore our relationship with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
If we begin today, if you begin today to recognize the presence of God in you and begin to communicate with him, it's just like a husband and wife finally getting and sitting down, and sometimes they need a counselor to get them to recognize, you got to forget that's behind. We're starting today brand new. Let's work on getting a closer relationship, talking, encouraging, loving on one another, touching one another. so significantly important for us in the Holy Ghost, just like a husband and wife. Wow. Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Familiar scripture to you, but I want you to see it now in the light of that Holy Ghost that lives in you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because remember, what's the role of the Holy Ghost to believers? To tell us we're what? We're righteous. We're beautiful. We're handsome. We're anointed. We're saved. We're forgiven. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, capital S. When we learn to walk with the Holy Ghost, our mind isn't going to be able to condemn us anymore. You see, the Holy Spirit's role is to tell us we're righteous. Your flesh and your mind is going to tell you, don't you remember how bad you are? Don't you remember you didn't get your prayers answered? That's the enemy. That's not the real you that got saved that has the Holy Ghost. There's no condemnation. Zero.
Amen.
None. Even if people try to put it on you, water off a duck's back. Stay with me. Verse 2. For the law of the Holy Ghost of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. We're not worrying about not going to heaven anymore because we're saved. Doesn't matter what the head says. We're saved. Why? Because we got the Spirit of God inside us. And when He came, He came with the promise that Jesus said He'll never leave you. Never. Say never. Never means never. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law would be fulfilled in us. We become righteous. But according to the Holy Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh will set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We are not robots. Even as Christians, we have a choice. We can set it on that which is good, perfect, just, of good report, or we can think on the junk. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad they are. I don't need to know. He knows. And He still loves them.
Amen.
And you. For to be carnally minded is death. Now listen, church. He's referring to Christians here. He's not saying death meaning you're going to go to hell. He means that you're going to reap what you sow. If you're thinking on the flesh, isn't it amazing? We are free in the Spirit, and we can still choose to do stupid stuff. And you know if we choose stupid stuff, we still are going to reap stupid results? I can choose. I'm not enslaved in bondage that I've got to now. You can't swear, you can't cuss, you can't be unfaithful to your wife. I can be all of that. I don't want to. I want to be led by the Spirit, not the flesh. What verse there, Randy? Oh, come on now. Where's your 6? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Folks, you think all you want on the carnal stuff is not going to send you to hell. You're just going to miss out on heaven on earth. Because we reap good from good sowing. We reap bad from bad sowing. Our choice, because we're free. And who the Son set free, and that should be all of us, we're free indeed. I'm free to do bad, but I choose to do good. Because I want the results. I want heaven on earth. Because the carnal mind is enemy against God, for it's not subject to God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh can't please God. We know to please God, we got to believe. Remember faith? It's impossible to please God without faith. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Look at me, church. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yep.
Why? Because you made Jesus Lord by believing he died for your sin and rose again. Once and for all. Do you understand? You can go through the motions and miss out on so much. There's so much good in here. Sister this morning, and sometime I'm going to have her share testimony, says, I've entered into some of your Bible studies. I've never seen so many men that are strong in the Word of God here. Every one of you men should say, thank you. You know why? Because we don't want to just get in. We want to know the Word, rightly divide the Word, and get the fruit of the Word of God. And everything reproduces after its own kind. And we're going to keep producing strong men, just like strong women also, that rightly divide the Word, because we're being led by the Spirit and not the flesh. What verse? Yes, dear. The carnal mind is enemy against God. It can't be subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. See, here's the Holy Ghost trying to convict you again. Come on now. You're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Who's in me? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit, and this is capital S of Christ, in them, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, believers, we're not debtors to this flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. In other words, you're going to check out early. Still go to heaven. But if the Spirit or the Holy Ghost, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Our role is that continuously when the flesh tells you something, put it down. No, I'm not. You're not going to rob my joy and peace. Amen. That's kingdom peace and joy. And I've told you, nobody can steal it, but you can give it up. I'm not letting anybody take my peace and joy. I'm going to laugh through the hardest times. I'm going to enjoy my life because I got the Spirit. That causes me to focus on all the benefits that are mine because he loves me just as much as he loves you. Amen, and wants you to know that. Yes. For if you live according to the flesh, you die, but by the Spirit you put to death the deeds. Verse 14, as many of you that choose to be led by the Spirit of God, you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. This Chinese virus, this stupid stuff that's going, we bind it, we do not fear it. We trust the Lord. But you have received the Holy Ghost of adoption by whom we say Abba, Father, and I say Abba, Daddy. The Holy Ghost himself is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, suffering with him that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, some of my favorite ones, but I had to get to that because you have to realize you got the same Holy Ghost I got, and you're going to begin to activate it like never before, so you're going to begin to see the fruit of what happens when you involve the Holy Ghost in your day-to-day things. You looking for a promotion? You looking for something? Ask the Holy Ghost, what's the hindrance? Yes, sir. You know what? You ever have, you couldn't find your keys or you don't know where they're at? And sometimes you might even say, hey, Jesus, well, you're calling out to Jesus, but I hate to tell you, it's the Holy Ghost that's noting and telling you, check here. And most of the time when you check there, oh, my gosh, there they are. Or whatever, or somebody loses a wallet and the Holy Ghost has somebody bring it with everything in it because it's just in that place that he knew where it was and he loves us so much, if we involve him, he'll let you know. It's not Jimmy. You died I don't know how many times, but you think how much the Holy Ghost loves you that he quickens people to get over and kick your door in? Ah, hello? Oh, we could play spiritual. Ooh, I just felt a premonition that we got to get over there and check on Jim. No, it was like something in here, unction. Yes, sir. I'm telling you guys, you got these unctions, you got this anointing, and you don't realize you got it. And so I'm here saying, come on, you got a teaching, you got a challenge, you got an encouragement. Oh no, what if I say something wrong or whatever? I'm telling you, with Christ, there's no condemnation. Because the Holy Ghost that you got inside you. And I don't care if you speak in six syllables or broken two-syllable words. It's not how you say it, it's what you say. And the Holy Ghost wants us to begin to step out. Thank you, Alex, our young generation stepping out, not intimidated. Even when he says, this may seem a little weird to you all, no, it just seems right on there, bro. Thank God our kids are being trained up in this avenue to realize they don't have to wait till they're old or older to begin to realize they got the same Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. They got the same all-knowing Holy Ghost. All right, where did I get to? 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time. And we've gone through, you know, lip cancer, COVID, you know, not being seeing you here a couple weeks. I'm the only one in here preaching to a screen. I like you more. Not worthy to be compared with the glory which is going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation itself is waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. They've been waiting for us. For creation is subject to weakness or futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it with hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into a glorious freedom by the children of God. That's why when my wife walks through the woods, that's why when we see creation, that's why we don't take things for granted. Because all creation has been waiting for the sons and daughters to recognize the Holy Ghost and begin to take authority over their neighborhoods, over their communities, and begin to put into place. It just doesn't happen if we don't do our part. And our part starts with asking the Holy Ghost, what would you think I need to do? What neighbor should I take something to? My whole neighborhood now is where people are stopping in my driveway, and they're not stopping because I'm a pastor. They're looking for what we got. What we got is Jesus, but the Holy Ghost sets us up on who to go touch base with. Oh, pastor, but you're anointed. So are you. Amen. But you know more. You're all-knowing. You're trying to know it in what you know up here right now. You need to know by everything that's in here. And he brings the whole package. Trust me, the Holy Ghost didn't say, I'm going to leave half my mind at home. I'm not going to come in with everything. No, he comes in with everything for everyone. And that's why even Paul told Timothy, don't let people make fun of your youthfulness. And we're not to make fun of wherever. But you don't want to just get into heaven, do you? You want to have a dialogue. And you want to be used powerfully. Now, remember what I said the next movement's going to be? You can take this one to the bank. It's going to be lifting up Jesus and no man or woman. Exactly. And you know who's going to remind us to lift up Jesus? Because we're going to come to the understanding of this Holy Ghost. That's going to remind us you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Go forth. Every place your foot treads, it's mine. Because I give it to you. Your community in which you live is a community God planted you there. Oh, I don't know why I chose that community. He does. And because you had the seeds of greatness called the Holy Ghost, I'm going to have you finish one scripture out of Acts. And don't you dare be guilty of religious sectors. And I'm going to read it out of, anybody got a message version with you? You're probably on your phones, but let me read it out of this one. I don't know why I didn't bring that with me, but I want you to look at Acts chapter 7. How many know that Stephen not only was full of the Holy Ghost, but he recognized the Holy Ghost? Yeah, 51 verse. Let's see which one I want here. Yeah, Acts 7:51. Is that what? Now, this is out of the message, and yours is going to lay it out. But we don't want to be guilty of this. This is what the Bible talks about when it's talking about Christians that are saved. This is Acts. This is the New Testament. And you continue so bullheaded, calluses on your hearts, flaps on your ears. You're deliberately ignoring the Holy Spirit. You're just like your ancestors. And what had happened in this particular case, Stephen had went down what happened with Moses, what happened with Abraham, all the miracles, how the Holy Ghost opened up the Red Sea and all this. And they're acting like, oh, what? And you know what happened? If you read on, and I don't want to take any more time. If you read on, he's calling them stiff-necked in most of your versions. You're stiff-necked. You're closed hearing. And then it goes on. You know what happened with all those he told that to? They rushed him to stone him. And even in the midst of all that, because he had the Holy Ghost with him, and I'm going to share on this one of these times, he not only forgave them, but he told them, Lord, don't even lay it to their account. And it says he was gone even before the stones took his life. We don't want to be stiff-necked. We don't want to be bullheaded. We don't want to have calluses on our hearts and flaps on our ears. And we definitely don't want to deliberately ignore the Holy Spirit. My challenge to you that are tuning in and to us today, I don't know that you've been intentionally ignoring the Holy Ghost, but if you have not begun to commune and become one with Him and to make Him be part of your day-to-day life, why not start today? You already are saved if Jesus Christ is your Lord. You got the Holy Ghost. He came. Why not involve Him? Why not? Good morning, Holy Ghost. Why not? Good night, Holy Ghost. Why not? What would you have me do? Where would you have me to eat? Oh, my gosh, you get into bondage. No, it's not bondage. It's freedom. Amen. Freedom to flow in the Spirit of God. Amen? Yep. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day that the Lord has made, and we will continue to rejoice. You're going to see in the next few weeks, I believe, and I won't speak because Pastor Mike will hear from God too, but we're not going to leave this spirit because in the spirit we are free. And we are going to learn how this flowing in the spirit is going to give us so much freedom to be who you really are. You're even going to come across being smarter. You're going to even come across being more anointed. I'm here to tell you, you're not smarter. You're not more anointed. You just got the anointing and the smarts inside you. And you're going to begin to draw from that source that's been there all along. So, Father God, I do lift up this congregation and all those that are tuning in. And I thank you for giving your son Jesus, for dying for our sins and raising him up after 3 days. And Jesus, I want to right now thank you for sending us the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one that will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. And it was expedient that you go, because if you hadn't gone, we wouldn't get, and we've got it. And I want to thank you, Jesus. But I want to thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're going to reveal yourself and your ways to my brothers and sisters, and you're going to become more real in their lives. And they're going to begin to call on you and have communion with you and become one together. And I'm prophesying right now that the body of Christ is going to rise and be powerful. And this year, 2021, will be the best year ever. And we will be not only a remnant, but there's going to be a force inside us that's going to get out of us. And rivers are going to flow of life to touch those around us. And we give you the praise and the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. God bless you. Mm-mm.